Chapter 15. The address Missy Smith had given to Sheriff Goodman turned out to be what is left when a family farm gets sold to a home-building corporation. The farmland itself had been added to some giant remote holding, but a shallow acre had been retained alongside the road, and a row of four small ranch houses had been built on it. They were maybe 20 years old. In the moonlight, they all looked bravely maintained and in reasonable shape. They were all identical. They all had white siding, gray roofs, front lawns, short straight driveways, and mailboxes at the curb on stout wooden posts. But there was one clear difference between them. Three of the houses had cars on their driveways. The fourth didn't. And the fourth was the address Missy Smith had given to Sheriff Goodman.
"Not good," Sorensen said.
"No," Goodman said. All four houses were dark, as was to be expected in the middle of the night. But somehow the house with no car looked darker than the other three. It looked quiet and undisturbed and empty. Sorensen climbed out of the car. The road was nothing more than an old farm track, blacktopped over. It was badly drained. Rain and runoff from the fields had left mud in the gutters. Sorensen stepped over it and waited at the mouth of the empty driveway. Goodman stepped over the mud and joined her there. Sorensen checked the mailbox, reflex habit. It was empty, as was to be expected from an evening worker. An evening worker picks up her mail before going to work, not after. The mailbox was white, like all the others. It had a name on it, spelled out in small stick-on letters. The name was Del Fuenzo.
"What's her first name?"
Sorensen asked. Goodman said, "Karen." Sorensen said,
"Go knock on the door, just to be sure."
Goodman went. He knocked. No response. He knocked again, long and loud. No response. Sorensen cut across the lawn to the neighbor's door. She rang the bell, once, twice, three times. She took out her ID and held it ready. She waited. 2 minutes later, the door opened, and she saw a guy in pajamas. He was middle-aged and gray. She asked him if he had seen his neighbor come home that night. The guy in pajamas said no, he hadn't. She asked him if his neighbor lived alone. The guy said yes, she did. She was divorced. She asked him if his neighbor owned a car. The guy said yes, she did. A pretty decent one, too. Not more than a few years old, bought with money from the divorce, just saying. She asked him if his neighbor always drove to work. The guy said yes, she did. It was that or walk. She asked him if his neighbor's car was usually parked on the driveway. The guy said yes, it was. All day long before work and all night long after work. It was parked right there on top of the oily patch they could see if they stepped over and looked real close, because of how a leaky transmission was the car's only fault. The neighbor should have had it seen too long ago on account of it being liable to seize up otherwise, but some folks plain ignore stuff like that. Just saying. Sorensen asked him if his neighbor ever spent the night away from home. The guy said no, she didn't. She worked at the lounge and came home every night at 10 past midnight, regular as clockwork, except for when she had the clean-up overtime, when it was maybe 12:35 or so. Mrs. Del Fuenzo was a nice woman and a good neighbor, and the guy hoped nothing bad had happened to her. Sorensen thanked him and told him he was free to go back to bed. The guy said he hoped he'd been helpful. Sorensen said he had been. The guy said if she wanted to know more, she should go talk to the other neighbor. They were closer. Friends, really. They did things for each other. For instance, Mrs. Del Fuenzo's kid slept over there while Mrs. Del Fuenzo was working. Sorensen said,
"Karen has a child?"
"A daughter," the guy said. 10 years old. Same as the neighbor's kid. They sleep over there, and then Mrs. Del Fuenzo takes over and gives them breakfast and drives them to the school bus in the morning."